to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a great, exciting time. Have your Bibles with you this morning. I'd like for you to turn with me to a very, really, you know, I hate to say that because every passage of Scripture should be familiar to you, but this is going to be a very, very familiar passage of Scripture. It's going to be in the book of Matthew, in the book of Matthew, and the first chapter, Matthew 1, 18. It's the story of the birth of Christ. Before we get into this, let me just assure you that your pastors, both of us, truly understand that Jesus was not born on December the 25th. We understand that. But we take this time to celebrate it. Amen. This is our time of celebration. And we know that he came to tabernacle with men during the Feast of Tabernacles. And John, of course, was born 6 months before Jesus, and John was born during the time of Passover. So therefore, we know that Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus, the coming Messiah, was born and during the Feast of Tabernacles, the fall feast. But we're celebrating him. We're celebrating him today. Now, the birth of Jesus, verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately or secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Wow. What's this? And she will bring forth a son, and you'll call him Jesus, or Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sin. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for your word, and we ask God that you would just minister to us. And Father, give me an open mind and an open heart to hear you, and give your people an open mind and an open heart to hear me. And we just want to bless you with this service, with this sermon this morning. Lord, that you be high and lifted up, and that we go away from here really, truly knowing that we've been in your presence. And we give you honor and glory in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, folks, we've heard this story over and over and over again. And you know what's so amazing about this story? It always remains the same.
Yeah.
I mean, you can read it over and over and over. You can hear someone tell it over and over and over and over. And it's the same. Pastor Ron and I were talking a couple of weeks ago how that we always want to bring something fresh to you. We want something that will maybe you've not heard or maybe presented in a different way. But I'm here to tell you this morning, there's only one way to present the birth of Jesus Christ, and it'll never change. It'll never change. It'll always be the same. The characters will never change. How many of you like to go home or get with family during this time of the year, the holidays? Lift up your hand and we'll see. Great. I do too. I do too. I love to go home. I love to be with my sisters and their children and my children, all this kind of stuff, our children. We just have a wonderful time together. And you know what we always do? Share stories. We just share. Our granddaughters was with us a couple of weeks ago, and Susan and I were talking about how, you know, they love to talk about stories of old. They just love to talk about them. And I got to thinking about it, and sometimes the stories change. Have y'all noticed that this way for yes? Yeah, the stories kind of change, and after a while, even the characters change. You know, they tell me things I've done. I said, nah, I don't think I did that, but I, you know. Or things that somebody else done. I'm thinking, no, I did that. But, you know, the characters, the story changes and the characters change. But the story of Jesus Christ was on this wise. And it'll never change. You can always know that the Word of God is going to stay the same. And when we read the story of Jesus, and having been in Israel many times, when you go to Bethlehem, that is one place that everyone agrees, whether they're Jew or Gentile or Christian or whatever, they all agree that Jesus was born in this little town. There's not a question. There'll be questions about where Elijah called fire down from heaven. Some will say it was in Haifa, but they all say it was on Mount Carmel, but there were different areas there. But they have different places. But when it comes to the birth of Jesus, everybody agrees on it. You know what? There's a great foundation in that one thought right there. There's certain things you and I must agree on. You know, there's certain things that you and I have got to come together on and know that that is sure and it's steadfast in our life. And I believe that the manger is one of those things. I believe you and I must believe that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. We must believe that. That's what separates him from everything, every other God. He was born of a virgin. We must agree. And I believe that if we look into the manger deep enough and we glaze upon the Word of God and open our hearts to him, I believe that there will be a reflection of the cross somewhere in the manger. We cannot in no wise start talking about the manger without thinking about the cross. Without the cross, the manger is of no effect.
That's right.
I believe that Jesus Christ was brought into this world for one purpose, and that was to save God's people from their burden of sin. I believe that the only way that he could have done that, there would never be freedom without blood, without the pouring and the losing of blood. And it could be that couldn't work without a death. There had to be a death in order to bring freedom. I believe you and I need to see this morning that this whole thing is only the very beginning. And how many of you know that we can go through Jesus's life and we can talk about all the things that we know about him, and which is very little, up until the time he started his ministry, and then we don't know near all the things that he did. There's so much that we don't know, but we could go through Jesus's life, and we can see all the things that he did, and then we get to that place that he first is crucified. He's tortured and crucified, and then he descends into hell, and then he ascends into the heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and from there he will come, and he'll judge the quick and the dead. Yes. But even when he leaves this world, it's not the end. It's only the beginning. That is the reason he was so sure that he made positive thought in the disciples' minds that once he left, they knew it was not over. How many of you know that if they thought it was over when Jesus left this world, then the whole thing would have fizzled right there? They had to know. Nobody would serve a dead God. Nobody would do that. So they had to know that in their spirit that he was alive. And how did he do that? He visited them again. He visited them again. Oh, you know the story. First, he saw the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And he visited with them. They did not recognize him. And then he ate fish with them. And then he visited them on several occasions. He went through the wall, through the door, had that molecular breakdown, and got on the other side and became flesh right in front of them. All these things we see. He made himself real to them. And let me tell you, they knew he was alive, and you will never know he is alive until you allow him to make himself real to you.
Amen.
I could tell you the story of the birth, and I could tell you the story of the death, and I could tell you the story of the resurrection, but you've got to make him living in your life. You got to allow him to become alive in your spirit, and that's going to bring you life. And you will have life, and you will have it more abundantly.
Amen.
Oh, I just believe that God would have us this morning to just stop and say, you know, of all of the stories that we heard, this is just the beginning of the good story.
Amen.
And the good story hasn't even happened yet.
That's
You know, I really believe that. And I've said this so many times. Us preachers, we say some pretty crazy things, don't we, Pastor? But I've always said, you know, when I get to heaven, I want to talk to Peter. When I get to heaven, I want to talk to Paul. When I get to heaven, I want to talk to Elijah. We have all of these great biblical characters we want to talk to. But most of us would say, when I get to heaven, I want to talk to Jesus. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven. You got to wait till you get to heaven to talk to Elijah, Peter, Paul, and all these other guys. But you can talk to Jesus. When he rent that curtain, right then he gave you access. You can talk to him anything, anytime, about anything. You know, it's so amazing to me. We want to talk to this one. We want to talk to that one. We want to even talk to Jesus. But I believe that when we get that opportunity, on this Christmas service, the last Sunday before we celebrate Jesus' birthday in today's world, Western world, his and Santa Claus, you know. But when we get to this place in life, and we know that we're going to be able to talk, and now we can say, you know what? I want to talk to Peter, and I want to talk to Elijah, and I want to talk to these guys. But I promise you, when you do, you won't be able to ask them anything. You know why? They're going to be talking to you. They're going to be asking you questions. They're just excited about it. They want to ask you, tell me, how did it feel when that great and notable day of the Lord and you just zap, you were gone? I mean, can you believe here we are living in a world today that thinks Jesus Christ is never coming back? Most people really don't even know if they believe in Jesus Christ. And they don't even know that he's coming back. I mean, we're like little children. We have our days and nights mixed up. I've used this example so many times in my ministry, and that is about life insurance. My Lord, they don't ever tell you you got to die to get it. I mean, can you imagine somebody knocking on your door? We come to talk to you about some death insurance. I think I got that covered. Listen, watch this, church. We're in such a place in the world today that we've forgotten the most prominent, powerful thing, and that is the days to come. That is the days to come. Oh, we love to talk about the days of old, the days of ancient. But the days to come are going to be marvelous. Let me tell you, 2014 was the best year I've ever had in my life. Amen. 2015 is going to be better than 2014. Amen. I believe that in my spirit. I believe that, I've had to suffer through some things. I've had to face some things that were not good and this, that, and the other. But you know what? God brought me through them. God brought me through them. And it's been a great year. And I know that it's going to continue to be a great year. And we talk about the birth of Jesus. How many of you know that from the time that he come into this world until even... we'll just go ahead and say till his death to exit this world, his ascension, he always had conflict. Yes. Things were happening. Yes. A couple of years later, this Pharaoh was going to ask that every male child be killed. I mean, his life started with conflict. Yes. His life started with conflict. Listen, you are going to have conflict. Amen. You're going to have problems. You're going to have circumstances and situation, and you're going to face things that by yourself you know you can't overcome. Amen. But thanks be to God, we have an unchanging, powerful, wonderful, loving God. He's the God of all ages. He's a lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the faithful friend. He's the perfect witness. He is God Almighty. You and I must realize that even though we're going to face things, we have got someone to go before us. You know, Jesus started his life with conflict. Things were happening. Things were happening. Now, three times in the Word of God do we find the destruction of babies. Twice by Pharaoh. Once by the man of God. Yeah. How many of you know that? Isn't that powerful? Moses commanded in Deuteronomy, commanded all of the male babies kill. In Numbers 31, 12 through 17, he ordered male babies killed because their mothers were leading the men of God into adultery. And so he said, this is your punishment. Now watch this. Two times in the Word of God, it was by a Pharaoh. It was by a governmental order that made it legal to murder babies. Twice. You know, to me, I've just got to say this. I'm not going to preach on Roe versus Wade. I'm not going to preach on abortion and all that this morning. But I've got to be able to tell you that this young teenage girl was pregnant. She knew she had never had sexual intercourse with anyone, and she found herself pregnant. Just a teenager. First of all, I got to say, God, you are very, you're I know you're wise, but I'm telling you, you love to live on the edge. I mean, can you just imagine putting the world in the hands of a teenage girl? Wow. Wow, wow, wow. And when we think about this, that here this teenage girl is pregnant, and Joseph thinking about it, well, maybe we could put her away privately, secretly. And when you go back and read, that could be read many different ways. There could have been many ways to resolve the place she found herself in. But it was because God sent that angel in his dream. God sent that angel and spoke to him and said, what she conceived is of the Holy Ghost. Church, you and I must realize that when God planned this thing out, he knew what was going to happen every step of the way. He knew that Jesus was going to go through these things, and he knew that there was going to be a call on his life and a bounty put out on his head. He knew that he would be captured, and he knew that he would have to suffer under the hands of Pilate, and he knew that these things were going to happen to him, but he also knew that he wrote the end when he wrote the beginning. Listen, tell the devil he's a lie. Tell the devil he doesn't hold you to what you think's going to happen to you or what someone else thinks is going to happen to you, that you are under the authority of an almighty God, the one that took care of everything before it ever happened. Wow. How many of you know that Jesus is known as Emmanuel? Say yes. Yes. Thank you. He's known as Emmanuel, but he's also known as something else. He's known as several things, a lot of things, but I wanted to use this one this morning. The second Adam. Yes, he is. The second Adam. You know, can I tell you something? They formed Adam in their likeness. They formed him in their likeness. You know, Ronnie, I see your three boys. They're in your likeness. God have mercy on them. They even act like you, son. But he made them in their likeness, like we make a child in our likeness. Are y'all kind of there with me? Somebody said, I wonder what Jesus looked like. Well, if we could ever figure out what Adam looked like, we'd probably know what Jesus looked like. Amen. The second Adam. The second Adam. You know, they got together and said, let's just make him like one of our children. He's got to have our appearance. He's got to have our thought pattern. He's got to know. Am I okay with you guys? Yeah. Y'all got quiet on me. And so we got to recognize here that he made him in his likeness. They made him in his likeness. And then Jesus come along. And I believe that when he said, when you see the Father, when you see me, you've seen the Father. I believe he was validating what I'm trying to tell you here, is that God had created this thing in his own image. And you know what? I got to tell you something, church. I believe that when this thing is all done, all said and done, and we get to heaven, we're going to have a family familiarity with God. Amen. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Yes. We're not going to get there and he's going to be a high and lofty God that we are afraid to approach. He's going to be our daddy. Yes. We're going to have a family familiarity with him. He's going to be the one that is going to recognize us as quick as we recognize and call us by our name. By the way, that we don't know what it is. We need to recognize that when this governmental order came into effect both times this governmental order came into effect, many babies were massacred, were murdered. You know, someone had said to me, you know, when this Roe versus Wade deal came about, you know, this is going to be the end of the world. I said, well, I don't know about that, but I will tell you this. I don't believe. See, what we must realize is the first two times, the first two government orders to kill babies was to stop God's plan. That was the whole thing, was just to stop God's plan. Roe versus Wade was not stop God's plan. The church kind of took it on as that. But what it was just revealing where the hearts of man had finally wound up. Amen. Somebody say, yeah, thank you, James. It was just opening up how far we've gone, how far we've come down. Oh, there was a time we respected life. Yeah. My God, there was a time when we respected other people's property. And we don't respect life and we don't respect other people's property anymore. I'm telling you, I believe that we got to realize that nothing is going to stop the plan of God. I don't care who it is or what it is or what kind of order they come up with. You know what I believe? I believe I'm an ambassador. I believe I'm an ambassador of heaven. And you know what an ambassador is? We have an ambassador to wherever, to the Philippines or to China or to any other place you use it, wherever, it doesn't matter. Do you know that ambassador is not dependent upon the place he's living? He's dependent upon his home country. Are y'all there with me? Now, let me say it again. I'm an ambassador. This whole thing can go to hell in a handbasket. I don't care. The market can crash. Everything can go to pot. And everything look bad. But I'm telling you, 2015 is going to be the greatest year of my life because I'm an ambassador and I'm not dependent upon this world, but I'm dependent upon a God that will supply all of my needs according to his riches in heaven. Jesus was born. This is a story. This is a story, but this story never changes. This story is the same. It stays the same forever and ever, and you cannot. And even though we'd like to bring something fresh to you this morning, I cannot do it. It's the same old story. It's the story of people being delivered. It's the story of people's sins coming to a halt. It's the story of Messiah coming into the world to give us freedom and victory over the enemy of our soul. It's the same old story. Listen, in the Old Testament, it's always pointing to God's promises. The Old Testament, read it, is pointing to Christ. You get into the New Testament, it's pointing to the future that you and I will live. But even more than that, when you get to the New Testament, it's teaching us to live in the promise. See, Old Testament points to the promise. New Testament teaches us to live in the promise. I'm going to ask you a question. I can't leave you without challenging you. Are you living in all the promises of God? Hope, joy, love. Are you living hope, peace, joy, love, Christ? Are you living in all of the promises of God, in all of the promises of Advent? Are you living where God wants you to live? Are you still letting it point to the promise? Are you letting something point to your promise? Or are you living in your promise? I'm going to challenge you this morning. Grab a hold of your promise. Get it in your mind. The Bible says in Habakkuk 2:12, write it down. so you don't forget it. I wish I had something to kick. Get up here, Pastor. No. look here. Those promises. We have got to get those in our mind. Write them down in our heart. Write them down on paper. And every time you face a new challenge in your life or the enemy comes up and throws a hindrance in your life, go back to what you wrote down. Write it down where you won't forget it. Oh, you have a promise this morning. Stand up with me all over the building. You have a promise. You have a promise this morning. You sing this old song, I'm a promise. I'm a possibility. Y'all remember that? Of course, I know y'all wouldn't. I was young when that came out. But listen. We have a promise. I hope this will clarify something to someone this morning. How come, why did Jesus have to be born in a manger and go through all of this stuff for you and I? God is God. Look at somebody and say, God is God. Now, when God created this earth, He created it in its beginnings. But do you believe that God could have created it with all of the buildings and the electricity and all of the... He's God. He could have just... He's God. He could do anything He wants to do. But the reason that God put Jesus in a manger is because prophecy told us that He would become flesh. How many of you would trust or would put your love in a God that was not like you? If He just come out of nowhere, a grown man, zapped out of heaven, never having to go through the challenges and overcoming every one of them. Look, church, every as Coach Bowden would say, every dadgum one of them. Every one of them He overcame. And He came into this world sinless and innocent. All babies are innocent. He came into this world sinless and innocent. And He left this world sinless and innocent. Wow. We can leave the manger and hit the wilderness. We can leave the manger and go right into the wilderness where He was tempted for 40 days. And we got three temptations we talk about. But hear me, church, a lot more than three. Every day, every minute, Satan was tempting our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and He overcame every one of them. And I'm going to say this, and I hope somebody go home and study this out. And the reason He overcame it was not only that He was the promise, but He was living in Himself. He was living in the promise. Are you living in your promise? Every head bowed and every eye closed me for just one moment. If you would say to me, Pastor, now everybody's bowed, and I'm not going to embarrass anyone, but if